Good morning. Good morning. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this snowy morning, but it's good to have you here. So a special welcome to those who are visiting today, and if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. And I'd also like to invite you to come back this afternoon at 5 o'clock for the 74th annual Festival of Carols that will be held here in the sanctuary as singers from the greater Malden area will be gathering in rehearsal this afternoon and be presenting a program this afternoon at 5 o'clock of Christmas anthems, and we'll be singing Christmas carols together. Also special music by Global Ark Baptist Church and the First Nepali Baptist Church in their native language will be presented tonight as well. So I want to invite all of you to come and invite friends to come this afternoon. There will be a free will offering this evening, and that is going to the Salvation Army to assist in their ministry at Christmas time. Call your attention to the calendar for the week that's on the back page of the bulletin, and I'm not going to read it to you, but do just want to highlight, we are having our monthly worship service at Glen Ridge this Tuesday afternoon, and also on Wednesday we are doing it at the Oosterman's Rest Home in Melrose as a special request. Also Friday there is feeding ministry here. We will be serving our regular menu, and we'll need some cakes donated, so if anyone can help out that way, we invite you to do that. There is a green insert in your bulletin today if you would like to order a poinsettia for Christmas Sunday and either take it home with you on either Christmas Sunday or Christmas Eve, which is the same day, either in the morning or the afternoon, or if you want to leave it for delivery to a shut-in, you may do that as well. Deadline is Wednesday of this week. We must have all orders in. Also, Marilyn Glover received a thank you note from Dr. Mar Imsong from the Massachusetts Baptist Multicultural Ministries for our donation of White Cross items, and she'd asked me to read this short letter to you. On behalf of the Massachusetts Baptist Multicultural Ministries, thank you for the White Cross donation of in-kind goods. Please pass on our thanks to those who participated from your church. We are able to help hundreds of refugee families as they come into our state with many needs. And this past year, we were able to fill well over 600 Christmas bags. Please know that your donation goes a long way in helping us toward our goal. Thank you. So we want to continue to remember that ministry that we are a part of, as part of the American Baptist Churches of Massachusetts, as part of our mission budget. Also, Dr. Imsong did help us this year, this fall, as we were negotiating with the First Nepali Baptist Church, as they have become sharing space with us on Sunday evenings here in the building. At this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 159 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading selected verses from the prophet Isaiah as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of counsel and of power. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, or decide by what he hears with his ears. The wolf will live with the lamb. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. Our opening hymn this morning is O Come, Emmanuel, number 163 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, renew our worn-out hopes. Restore our forgotten dreams. Come, Prince of Peace, refashion our commitment to a world where justice and peace embrace. Come, wonderful Counselor, rekindle our joy for living and refuel our passion for truth. Come, Giver of Life, refresh our yearning for you. Replant us in your grace. Come, Emmanuel, God with us. We ask this in your name and now join in the prayer you taught as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. Bella, there's something new in our manger scene from last week. Do you see something new that wasn't there last Sunday? You remember? Only thing that was there last week, the cow was in the stable. But what's there now? We have some sheep, and we have a man that's caring for the sheep, and that man's called a shepherd. It's a term you might not have heard before. And in Scripture, we read from Luke's Gospel, in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." Today, we remember the shepherds who were workers for the common good. They were steadfast watchmen who were isolated and alone, far from the warmth of home, doing a job that no one else wanted. And yet God saw them, God valued them, and God declared the greatest news of all to them alone. Today we give thanks for the shepherds among us, back-breaking laborers on whom our economy stands, those who overlook or rarely see, we overlook or rarely see, yet rely on for our very survival, the ones who have so much to teach us about watching for God in the darkness. So on this second Sunday in Advent, we relight the first candle that symbolized the prophets and their message of hope, and we light the second candle as a symbol of the shepherds, agents of the gospel and redeemers of the world. So the words to light the Advent candle for the second verse are printed in your bulletin. I invite you to sing that as I'm going to ask Bella if she will come and help me light the candles today. pray together. Lord, on these days in December when there's not a lot of sunshine, when there's a lot of darkness because the sun gets up late and goes to bed early, we are mindful of the light that Christ brings into the world. Lord, we're also mindful today of the shepherds who saw the light from the angels and heard that message and shared it with others. Lord, we pray that we too may share that message, that good news of Jesus Christ, of his love, with others that we meet in the coming days. We ask this in his name. Amen. And you may go to your class, Bella. We come into a time of our prayer, of having an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another before going to prayer. We want to continue to keep Marilyn Glover in prayer. Last week I mentioned that Marilyn had fallen and sprained her hand and is still wrapped up, but you know, we continue to pray that she'll be able to play the organ through the service. And she will continue to heal. We want to keep Chuck's mom in prayer, Dorothy Huddy in Hawaii, who's in hospice now, but praying for her and her caregivers. Also, we want to keep Bev Sandberg in prayer. I talked with her daughter last night, finally. And Beverly has been transferred to a nursing home in Chelsea. And will be there permanently unless she's transferred. They're trying to get her into a different nursing home eventually, but there's a waiting list. So, but Bev is not going to be able to live in assisted living or independently anymore. So she is adjusting quite well, but we want to keep Bev Sandberg in prayer today. We also want to keep other folks in our church family who are not able to come as often as they may wish, especially now that the weather's not getting as good. Just want to keep them in our prayers as well. And in addition, we want to keep the victims of the mass shooting, at least one of the mass shootings that took place this week in the Southwest, and just want to keep them in prayer today. And it seems almost like every week we have that prayer going. And I know Dave Latta has a couple requests for prayer today, so I'm going to ask Dave first for his request, and then I'll invite anyone else to share requests. Okay. So one of Dave's aunts passed away on Wednesday, and we want to keep, his cousins and the family in prayer. And also one of his and Dottie's good friends passed away yesterday. And I know Dottie had mentioned that they have, two wakes and two funerals this week. So I want to keep those families in prayer today and other families as well. It's a difficult time when trying to be in the holiday spirit and losing a loved one. But we want to just, remember those families that are going through that at this time. Does anyone have a request, another request? Dottie. Wow, so Jake is now a teenager. Okay, that's a good celebration. Okay, so Jake's other grandfather had a medical issue yesterday and had emergency surgery at Mass General yesterday and came through surgery, but it's very serious. And so we want to keep the family, obviously, in prayer. Okay. Anyone else have a prayer request? Is that Cindy? I see the hand behind Richard's head, but it's Cindy.
By Chinese reckoning, Chuck's mother will be 100.
Wow. Okay, so by Chinese reckoning, Chuck's mom will be 100. I don't know what that means by the rest of our... Is that 99 then?
They're a year old when they're born.
All right. In their first year, so she'll be in her 100th year. So that's a celebration. That is a celebration. Anyone else have a prayer request? Is that Irene? Again, I can only see a hand above a chair. the wildfires, those who are suffering from the wildfires in California, yes. Anyone else have a prayer request? Mark. Yes, we have a very faithful choir. In fact, we were taking sort of dibs this morning whether the congregation would outnumber the choir when we started, and it at least equaled if it didn't outnumber. And I think it might have outnumbered by the time the service started, but we have a very, very faithful members in our choir. And no matter what the weather is, they are here. And that is a celebration. Peggy? Mm-hmm. Okay. Peggy's great-grandson in Germany turned 6 years old. She's also asked for prayers for her sister-in-law, Claire. And I already mentioned Beverly. So if there are no other requests, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests that have been mentioned or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, as we traveled here this morning for worship, many of us had extra duties to do, to shovel out, to be careful on the sidewalks, to walk gingerly to make sure that it was, you know, a safe passage here. And Lord, we know that others may be digging out right now at home, and others may not be feeling well today, and for whatever reason have chosen to not be with us. But we lift up those who are not here today, O God, and pray for your blessings to be upon them as we are being blessed by being together this day. We pray that your Spirit will be working in us and among us this day as we have gathered to be your congregation in this place at this time. Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of being together today. We pray that this time of worship may be a time of renewal for us, a time of instruction, a time for reflection, a time of recharging our inner batteries so that we may have the strength to go on another week. Lord, as we are now in the second Sunday of Advent and the countdown to Christmas, we are becoming more excited, Lord, and as we get closer to celebrating the birth of your Son. Lord, for some, though, we know that it is not a time of celebration, but a time of pain. We pray for those who are ill today and injured, and pray that healing will take place in their lives according to your will. We also pray for those who are in mourning today, O God, whether the death is very fresh or whether it's lingering or it's been a long time, but the holidays always, you know, bring back memories and missing of loved ones. Lord, we pray for those who are hurting in that way today, and pray for your comfort, your comforting spirit to be with those, to know that they are not alone, that you are there with those who are hurting today and who are mourning the loss of a loved one. Lord, we do pray for those who are in danger today, and we pray especially for those who are affected by the wildfires in California. We pray for the firefighters and the first responders who are battling the blazes and rescuing people and trying to keep the area as safe as possible for living people, for the people. We know that so many homes and businesses are being lost, O God, so much land is being burned and destroyed. But Lord, we pray that something new will come out of the ashes, that there will be new growth and new life coming out of the destruction that's taking place there. Lord, we also lift up to you those who are living in dangerous situations where there is violence within the home or the community, and pray that there may be peace there. For Lord, you are a God of peace, and Christ came as the Prince of Peace. And we recognize that today, and we hope that we too may be peacemakers. Not peace that, you know, the world makes, but that we may try and live out the peace that Jesus offers us. We pray, O God, that we might look at all people, as diverse as they are, and especially in our communities today in the Boston area, but that we see them all as your children. And we pray that we may model being a community of reconciliation where there are differences. In a sharply and painfully divided nation, let us join with other peacemakers in building bridges between the rich and poor, between blacks and whites and other nationalities and ethnicities, between native citizens and those who are immigrants. Help us to keep in mind that the same Jesus who came to us on that first Christmas, and who promised to come back in your own appointed time, is also with us now at all times, encouraging us as agents of his mercy and heralds of his justice, expecting us to be builders of bridges, peacemakers, in response to his love for us and for all of your children. We offer this prayer with thanksgiving in his most powerful name. Amen. Advent is the time of getting ready for Christmas, and we think of Christmas as gift-giving. We have an opportunity each Sunday during our worship service to give thank you gifts to God through our tithes and our gifts and our offerings as we present those to God and saying, thank you, God, for all of your blessings. And we support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Pray together. Lord, we present these tithes and gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the wonderful news of your love with the world. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Michael Huddy will be reading the scripture today.
This morning's scripture comes from Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. It's found on page 53 in the Pew Bible. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of God's holy word.
Thank you, Michael. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these familiar words, these familiar verses from the Christmas story, we just pray, O God, that we may have a fresh understanding, a fresh perspective on your living word this day, that words that some of us probably could recite by heart. And yet, Lord, sometimes that becomes routine. And we pray that these words may become living for us today, and it may help us in our daily living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2,000 years ago, a chorus of angels proclaimed the birth of Jesus with the words, "Peace on earth among those whom God favors." Peace on earth. What comforting words from a choir of angels. Do not be afraid. This is good news. Your Savior has been born, and he is bringing peace. Wonderful words to hear. But where is there peace on earth? Where can we find it? This past week was the 76th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor by the Japanese and the escalation of our involvement in World War II. This morning, as we are in the United States, we in the United States continue to be engaged in war in Afghanistan and providing peacekeeping duties in other locations around the globe. We find ourselves asking, where is peace? And at what price do we have peace? The words of the angels spoken so long ago don't seem to have had a great impact on our world when it comes to the issue of peace. Nations have fought against each other for centuries. In our own country, we were divided and went to war over the issue of slavery. People were put in concentration camps in Germany during World War II, and others were imprisoned, terrorized, and brutalized in Vietnam, Iraq, and other parts of the world. Abuse and violence take place in our homes and on the streets. Can there be peace on this earth? Just a few minutes ago, we sang the carol, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," which repeats the phrase, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." I want us to take a few moments this morning to try and understand the peace that the angels proclaimed and that we sang about. The poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote, and we just sang, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." As we hear the bells of Advent and Christmas, we ask ourselves, is there, can there be, where is this peace on earth? The Bible is filled with the idea, over 300 times, the word peace, in both Hebrew and Greek, is used in the Old and New Testaments. Isaiah prophesied the coming of the day when the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. In another area of Isaiah, he spoke of the birth of a child who would be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Bible also clearly states that Jesus is the one who shall bring about this peace, the one whom Isaiah called the Prince of Peace. Zechariah predicted that he would guide our feet into a way of peace. And the angels sang that wondrous night, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill among people." Those are wonderful words of promise and hope. But are they true for us today in a world of great darkness, where weapons are unbelievably destructive and hatred is unmistakably strong? As he wrote this poem in the mid-1800s, Longfellow paused and considered the conditions in this country. The Civil War was in full swing. The Battle of Gettysburg was fresh in people's memories. Days looked dark, and he probably asked himself the question, how can that last phrase of each stanza that I am writing be true in this war-torn country, where brother fights against brother and father against son? But Longfellow kept writing, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." We hear the bells, and we are filled with hope. But then we look around us and don't hold on to that hope for very long. And we recoil with disappointment because our hope and our dream does not match what we are seeing around us. We can identify with the prophet Jeremiah when he observed that the people cry, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. On that night when the angel proclaimed peace on earth, Caesar Augustus was emperor, Herod was the king, and Quirinius was governor of Syria. The records of the ancient world show that scarcely any people were more brutal and violent than these men. Human existence in that day did not match the angel's proclamation. So what is peace? What did the angel proclaim? Often when we think or speak of peace, we are referring merely to some cessation or resolution of conflict or hostilities. This type of peace, which is the absence of fighting, is temporary. It slips away and has to be won again. In the time of Jesus, there existed what was called Pax Romana, the Roman peace. The Roman Empire claimed that its rule had brought peace to the world. This peace was built on terror, militarism, force, and intimidation by the power of the Roman army. It was a peace by domination. The fact that people wanted so much to throw off the yoke of Rome indicates that it was only an imposed peace. A second type of peace is the peace of escape, or the peace of non-involvement. It is attempted by retreating to a cabin in the mountains, or to a little ocean cottage, away from all the troubles and noise of the world. In a strained and exhausted society, it is a very compelling concept to just withdraw from all the negativity. The problem with a peace of escape is that it is essentially a denial of life. To relinquish our freedom, to refuse to be involved, to attempt an escape, is to choose death instead of life. This is exactly contrary to God's way of dealing with us. The Christmas message says that God has gotten involved in our history. God is not detached or distant from our lives, for God is Emmanuel, which is translated as God with us. There is a better peace than the peace of resolved conflict or the peace of escape. The Christmas gift of peace, that which Longfellow wrote about and that which the angels sang about, is the gift of God's presence and purpose in Jesus Christ for our lives. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. His peace is not imposed like the Pax Romana. Instead, it is offered, and we have the opportunity of accepting or refusing it. Jesus' way is the Pax Christi, the peace of Christ. He spoke to his disciples in the upper room, knowing that the cross was looming before him and that his death was certain. And he said these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The peace that Christ offers is different from the peace that the world offers. The peace that Christ offers us is drawn from his relationship with his Heavenly Father. Jesus is living in the Father's will, and the will of the Father is in Jesus. And as we are drawn into Jesus and his Spirit into us, we have inward peace that is different from anything the world might call peace. The peace of Christ is a peace that no one can snatch away from us. Jesus gives us a peace that is internal, that's inside. That's not merely peace of mind so that we have some inner calm. It's more than that. It's an internal peace that comes from the presence of God. Jesus had that kind of peace as he faced his own death. He had such a vital union with God the Father that it gave him the strength to face whatever would happen in his lifetime. As important as it is to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, however, this peace must not be thought of as only an inward experience. It is to rule in our hearts so that it might also rule in the world. Like love, peace fulfills itself only in expressing itself, even by emptying itself. Thus, the peace of Christ is not only internal, it's also relational. It is expressed in how we relate with each other, and it helps us to build bridges of understanding and bridges of compassion. Christ's peace empowers us to try to restore broken relationships and to bring about reconciliation. So to the extent that we are Christmas people, we are called and challenged to go out into the world as peacemakers. We go out into the world that is full of conflicting ideologies, of cutthroat competition, and of the idolatry of power. Yet we go believing that the final and only victory, the ultimate and lasting peace, belongs to those who, in our darkened world, have ears to hear the chorus the shepherds heard, to those who see the light of Christ. Let's pray together. O come, desire of nations, bind all people in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. O God, we want to hear the angels' song again. We want real peace within our hearts, with our relationship toward others, and within our world. Help us, O God, to learn how to be peacemakers as we follow the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate this Advent and Christmas season. We ask this in his name. Amen. In our Lord's peaceful kingdom, the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and a little child shall lead them. With hearts hungry for this harmony, let us put faith in the child of Bethlehem and follow him in the way of peace. Amen.